Welcome, everyone, to episode 2 of WP Mainline for Friday, March 13th. Ho, ho, ho. Well, that's like from the Green Giant. It's not really spooky, unless you're afraid of the Green Giant or vegetables or whatever. I'm your host, Jeff Chandler, joined by, you know what, we're 2 episodes into the new podcast, and John has already found a way to ditch the show. That is unbelievable.
I'm sure you're crying in a corner. It's so sad.
Oh, well, hey, but I have found a very suitable replacement, sorry, John, in the form of Malcolm Peralti of Press Titan. Malcolm, thanks a lot for joining me on the show today.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
So let's see. The first thing we want to talk about is probably something called COVID-19, coronavirus, worldwide epidemic. It's gone crazy here in Ohio now. Schools are shut down. Everything that involves people is pretty much shut down. How are you handling it up there in Canada? Because I know, was it the Prime Minister, Justin Trudeau, his wife recently tested positive for it. How's it affecting your life so far?
Yeah, that's right. You know, when the leaders of your country start getting it, you kind of have to feel a little bit nervous, right? I mean, there's rumors that even Trump might have it. In terms of kind of day-to-day life, you know, we have a lot of the same problems that a lot of other places have. So like you go to the stores and for some reason, all the toilet paper is sold out. But beyond
which
that,
I experienced yesterday.
Yeah. It's crazy, right? It's not one of those viruses or whatever that's going to give you diarrhea, but apparently that's the stockpile that everyone wants to have. I don't know if that's going to be the new money or what, but, it's definitely changed a few things for me. I'm fortunate. I work from home, so it doesn't change too much, but my wife goes to school and she's just been told that next week she will not be going to school. The trip that I had planned to help one of our clients in a startup accelerator in South Africa has been delayed, postponed, canceled potentially. So I won't be going on that trip. So I'll be helping out remotely, which is kind of a bummer. I was looking forward to seeing Cape Town in South Africa, but I don't want to get trapped in some other country where I have no connections and no resources. So kind of happy to be staying here and ride it out here with my wife and my dog.
Yeah, I'm essentially limiting our travel a little bit. I already wash my hands a ton of times during the day. I'm pretty good with, I got hand sanitizer in the car, and I'm always doing those things where you use your elbows to open doors, or I use my pinky to open doors if they have handles on them, and the wipes and stuff like that. So far, so good here. I mean, we're still running on our typical supply of toilet paper that we bought about 2 months ago from Sam's Club, so we're not in an immediate need of it. But Bounty, Charmin, all those companies that make paper products, I mean, they're probably happy about what's going on with coronavirus, because they're probably making bank with toilet paper. Boy, that'd be interesting if toilet paper became the new currency. Very fragile. You can't get it wet, then it's no good. But Now the big thing is all of these people who have been suddenly thrust into the position of working from home who may have not had to do that before. And there's quite a few people out there that are experiencing what it's like to work from home for the first time. And then there's a lot of people who are struggling with it.
Of course,
There's a lot of different companies and people out there offering books and videos and their tutorials. Because, in the WordPress industry, many of us have been doing this for, more than 10 years now. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of people who are looking for advice and starting to panic, not knowing what it is they're supposed to be doing.
Well, and then there's also the people that are trying to capitalize on this, right? People are seeing this as like the wonderful gold rush. All of us who have this knowledge, finding a way to be able to monetize it, to be able to continue to bring in a decent income while the economy does whatever it's going to do. I mean, one of the cool stories from Shopify is that they're giving like $1,000 to each staff member. They have like 5,000 staff members. That's a $5 million investment for work from home, remote work for their company alone. So the financial aspect of this is not some small thing.
And I've even seen companies like ConvertKit that have a fund that's helping out people who may be in distress or in need of picking up some funds. There's a lot of people who are, going to be out of work, going to be looking for money. I mean, the financial impact on this, not just on the economy, but just in general, the homes, the middle class, the lower class. This is just, like I said on Twitter the other day, that I recognize the kind of sort of historical time that we're living in right now. This is one of those like historical blips of, you know, I kind of think back to Y2K, you know, that was sort of the, you know, sort of one of those moments that you're, you know, well, let's see what happens. Now, thankfully, nothing really happened there, but this is a global pandemic, something I didn't think we'd live through. It's a new disease. So it's very interesting to see how society is reacting around it, how different countries are, their approach to stemming the spread of the disease. And so far, the country I live in, the United States, has their approach to this disease so far has looked like a joke to many others who are on the outside looking in. Hopefully we can change that around. But man, this is, and I saw somebody on Twitter today mention that, also mentioned the fact that this is a historical time. And I think, you know, whether it's a journal or this is a good time right now to reinvigorate your personal blog, if you have a blog down there for a while, but write about how you're feeling, what you're seeing, what you're experiencing during this time period. Cause I think it would be, you know, you want to remember it and you want to be able to write down what you're feeling right now instead of having to possibly remember it years from now. So it'd be good to kind of document your experiences that you're going through right now with this worldwide pandemic.
That's a really good call to action. And I hadn't thought about that. And you're right. It is a good way to go. And it's also kind of like a personal therapy too, right? Because a lot of people are finding this very stress and anxiety inducing because it's not something that we're used to. So I think that's a great call to action. I mean, in terms of how this is affecting kind of the WordPress community, that's been really interesting too. I know a lot of businesses, a lot of small businesses, especially kind of in the WordPress space, are kind of freaking out a little bit because WordCamps were kind of one of their outreaches to get new clients. And so they've kind of had, you know, their hands chopped off in terms of being able to approach these new clients because there's nearly 24 WordCamps around the world that have been either postponed or canceled, with more kind of news coming in all the time about similar events not happening this year. How do you feel about that?
Yeah, WordCamp Chicago canceled, WordCamp EU officially canceled, WordCamp, I think WordCamp US has been canceled, if not postponed. I'd have to look that up, but it seems like all WordCamps at some point now or later between now and who knows when have been either canceled or postponed. Or like, actually, I just saw WordCamp, was it Austin? Either Austin or San Antonio. I think it was Austin. They're actually going to be doing a live. They've transitioned to a virtual event. So some of the WordCamps that have been scheduled for later on this year are right now in the process of immediately transitioning over to doing something virtual. And there's a lot of people are looking up to Arzen on Twitter, Brian Richards, wondering because he's been sort of the master of doing this with WordSesh. He's been doing a virtual conference called WordSesh, and he's even done that sort of internationally. So like he's like the go-to guru right now. And how do you host a live virtual event? But yeah, this is affecting businesses. This is affecting people who relied on these WordCamps to have that physical interaction with people, that social interaction that they don't get maybe during most of the year. And now they're going to be experiencing FOMO, and there's going to be even more isolation. And, you know, virtual meetings and Zoom and Slack, they only go so far. It's a totally different experience of being in the same room, being at the same dinner table, having a meal, sharing it together. You just can't replace that with virtual tools.
Yeah, and I think that kind of brings up the secondary call to action in this whole thing, right? Is find ways to connect with the people around you. So you might not be able to, you know, be part of a WordCamp community, but if you know a neighbor who's, you know, a parent with a young child or an older family who are probably too at risk to be able to go out and socialize or go out and get supplies on their own, make sure you kind of connect with your neighbors and check in on them and make sure everyone in your community is doing well.
Yeah, I tell you what, I might ask my neighbor if he's got any toilet paper, or I might trick him into telling me if he's got any toilet paper. And I think, and if he does, I might get to know my neighbor a little better.
That's great.
So I have in the WP Mainline forum, I posted this question out there: how are folks dealing with the coronavirus? And Gary B, who lives in Ireland, says that the government's announced the closure of all schools, universities, and cultural institutions. Mobile phone networks actually went down briefly after the announcement. He said that there's panic buying at the grocery stores, which are leading to short-term shortages of items like toilet paper, diapers, bread, pasta, and noodles. So it's not just happening here in the U.S. This is like a worldwide thing. And on top of that, China has pretty much been shut down. So when's the next time we're going to get cargo ships of toilet paper shipped to wherever they need to be shipped? You know,
don't worry. Canada's got lots of trees. We'll turn that wood into toilet paper for you. Don't worry, it'll be fine.
And we could ship them from Canada to the U.S. via train.
There you go.
There we go. I'm liking this idea. And then Gary goes on to say that he's been privileged enough to work from home. He'll be fine. He says his main concern would be for his grandparents who are living in a care facility. And we've already seen that, I believe, it's a nursing home up in Washington State where the virus spread. I think 10 people perished within a nursing home. Those are the people really are at the highest risk right now if they end up contracting coronavirus. He says that, you know, one of the biggest issues of his peer group is how they're going to look after their kids while the schools are closed, childcare facilities, things of that nature. Stephen Glebe, he actually lives down in Texas. He says that they're being extra vigilant when hand washing, when going in and out of home, car stores, stuff like that. He says, fortunately, his household doesn't work or go to school outside their home, so we don't have to go out for lunch. He's thinking about stocking up on a 2-week food supply. He's not doing any handshakes at church, just fist bumps, elbow bumps, and that's even if they're having church. Actually, I think many churches have there's been a couple of things in the news about some churches willing to stay open, and a lot of people have looked at that as a very crude way of, you know, there's a pandemic going around. You shouldn't be having church just to pass around the hat or the collection plate, which some people have looked at as kind of icky, you know, still having church. And Stephen Cronin, he lives down there in somewhere in New Zealand, or maybe in actually around Melbourne, Australia is where he lives. Mm-hmm. He says that they're sold out of toilet paper down there. They have been for a couple of weeks now. He says that things are becoming real here now. They're canceling events. There are more and more cases in the news. The government really hasn't been taking it that serious so far, except they took it serious with Tom Hanks. Hell, they even rolled in a Wilson volleyball to
I saw that.
Company, which is pretty funny. But he says as far as work goes, Envato, which is a company he works for, and you know, a company that we're familiar with in the WordPress space, he says that they're totally work from home environment. He says there's no change for him as he already works home remotely and things like that. He says he's just basically going to stay home most of the time, which is what most of us remote workers do anyways. Mm-hmm. So there you have it. I mean, it's a worldwide thing, and it's very interesting how this sort of pandemic is kind of bringing us all kind of together, because hey, we're all in this together. I mean, there's no coronavirus, man. It doesn't matter your color, your race, your creed, your age. It doesn't matter. You know, if you're human, you're susceptible to getting it. So we're all doing our part here with this thing called social distancing, which I really didn't have a problem doing beforehand. So, you know, I've been training my whole life for something like this.
If you had a muscle for social distancing, yours would be huge. You'd be like bodybuilder size.
Yeah, yeah. By the way, I think it's the Make WordPress community website, or possibly on the WordCamp Central website, there is a page out there for WordCamp or meetup organizers that contains a lot of useful information about, you know, whether you're in the midst of an event that you've already planned, or maybe you're looking to plan an event for later this year. There's a lot of great information that's being shared by some of the community, WordCamp Central community team members. So definitely check that out. I'm pretty sad about Chicago. I haven't heard anything about my local WordCamp Cat, but I imagine, you know, with that being, I think in April or May, it's probably going to be canceled, just because at this point, holding a WordCamp would probably come across too many as just seen as it would be irresponsible.
Right.
You know, it would be the organizers not doing their part to maintain the health and safety. I'm not just the volunteers and the organizers and the attendees, but everyone around that, you know, we got to think about the bigger picture. So there's all of that going on with the coronavirus. You know, we're just right now, schools are closed, I think for 2 weeks. They're going to tack on an extra week on the spring break. So we'll see and we'll evaluate. There's nothing going on in sports. All the sports have been shut down, which is really unprecedented, considering you want to talk about economy and economic impact, sports, professional sports, and the March Madness, which has now been dubbed March Sadness. And you've got, the Major League Baseball has been pushed back. And then you've got, it's just, this is crazy, man. I don't know if we'll ever see anything like this. And I hope we don't ever see anything like this again in our lifetime. And this is all just precautionary. I mean, right now it may seem like, and I was on this side of the fence where we were canceling everything, and I thought, you know, what are we doing? This seems like an overreaction. But in hindsight, I think we'll look back on it and say, no, maybe we should have canceled or closed things sooner. That maybe this is not an overreaction. This is what we should be doing, and they're doing it.
Yeah, and I mean, if you're missing out on March Madness, I mean, if you're in the WordPress space, Torque Mag is running their plugin madness right now. They're in the second round, heading into the third round in about 2.5 days. So if you haven't voted on that, you should definitely check it out. I always love the results of the plugin madness, seeing who ranks higher. I wonder how they determine the starting selection. I don't know. I'll have to do more research into that at some point, but there's a lot of plugins that you'll recognize on there and a couple that I hadn't tried before. So I really think it's a really neat thing that they do every year.
And I like how they have that contest, because it sort of reminds me of back in the day when WebLawToolsCollection.com used to have a plugin contest. I mean, mm-hmm. This is way back. This is OG WordPress community days. And there's a contest that Mark held on there. And the first place prize would get some money and would get some notoriety. And I think there was a second or third place prize. And Mark was one of the judges. I was one of the judges. I think Rhino Eureka might have been one of the judges. And that was a good time. I remember the first big time plugin that won first place on WebLawToolsCollection.com had to deal with comments. And I think his comment plugin added the ability to like reply, added some like forum stuff to the comment right. form, which I thought was really neat back in the day. So he ended up picking up a couple Benjamins, I believe, for winning that contest.
How things have changed, eh? I mean, there's probably 100, 200, 300 plugins that are added to the plugin repository on WordPress.org every day now. So, yeah, it's a different world.
Speaking of plugins, so I'm still in the process of building WP Mainline. It's quite the website. You know, I'm running into, you know, I want this little piece of functionality, or I'm trying to accomplish this. Well, boom, I got to install another plugin. So I keep running into that. But I noticed the other day, I was logged into WP Mainline via an account that had the subscriber role, and I was seeing things that I probably shouldn't have been seeing. So, for example, and this is just, I'm not harking on these guys, but these are the examples that I ran into, but Give WP, the nonprofit, the donations plugin. Mm-hmm. When I was looking at the back end, I was logged in as a user with a subscriber role. In the left-hand admin menu, there was a Give WP menu item. And when you hovered over it, nothing displayed. There was no sub menu. So it's like, well, why is it there? And then if you clicked on the Give WP link, it actually took you to the Give WP webpage. I was like, oh no, this is not That's good. Weird. So I actually went to the Give WP folks and explained what I was running into, and they noticed it. They could replicate it. So that's going to be addressed. So that's really cool. And then the other issue was I'm using Seriously Simple analytics for the Seriously Simple podcasting plugin. So I could see listens. I can actually figure out now who the heck is listening to this podcast, which is pretty nice. And I found out that, as a user with the subscriber role, the dashboard widget with the stats shows up to those users. And it's like, well, wait a minute. I think those users shouldn't be privy to that kind of information. So let me just file a GitHub request. And they agreed that, whoops, you know, it's sort of something we overmissed, and it's going to be fixed in the next release. So that's really cool. So I'm doing my part. You know, I'm already back in it contributing to these various plugins, but it brings up the point that as I install more and more plugins, I think one of the things that's getting lost in the testing bits by plugin developers, especially if you add dashboard widgets that display information such as stats or analytics or what have you on the site, mm-hmm. to double check how the dashboard looks with your plugin activated as a subscriber. Because by default, new users in WordPress have the subscriber role, and you don't want them to be able to see things that they shouldn't be seeing. And I believe there is a, if user or has capability type of check that plugin developers can use to make sure that if they're a subscriber, they do not see that dashboard widget.
Yeah. I mean, it makes me wonder if eventually one of the big things that WordPress should do is kind of change the entire subscriber user experience, because why do they need to access the back end of WordPress at all? I get that it gives them the access to update their user profile, but we can do that in the front end in a different way. It doesn't need to be a back end thing at all, in my opinion.
Yeah, basically when you sign up, I mean, it's user profile, and then I think you could select the color scheme of the end and back end, maybe some language options. I mean, there's not really much back there. So, yeah, I mean, maybe at some point they'll have to look into redoing that. So just a thing out there for all you plugin developers to double check how the site looks in the subscriber role. That it's kind of enlightening. I think it's something that's probably a lot more common than we think. Now, I can only imagine installing a plugin that has a dashboard widget that shows very important information that, oh my goodness, I never knew until I tested it as a subscriber that everybody could see that information.
And again, as you become more experienced in WordPress, you forget about some of these things. Yeah. Right? Like I almost never check like what a subscriber role can do on any of my sites because I just assume that it has almost no access, which is a horrible assumption.
I found out, and basically I logged in and I was testing something else. I think it was an email or registration or something else. And I noticed these widgets. I go, whoa, wait a minute. What are these doing here? These shouldn't be here. So I kind of came across by happenstance, but I'm like, yeah, this is a good reminder to plugin developers. And I've also had other people chime in on Twitter that they've also noticed this same thing with it being sort of forgotten about in the testing process for plugin developers.
I have no doubt.
With regards to WP Mainline, I recently caught up to the forum. I'm still working on amping up the forums with the BBPress Toolbox plugin I recently purchased, which contains just an onslaught of modules and stuff that I can configure. So I'm still working on that. Man, I've been so busy. I haven't been able to write any post for the site, which is like, wait a minute, isn't that why people are, you know, they want to see me write and my opinions and all that? So I'm still working on that. It's crazy to be back in the saddle of wearing many hats and doing this and doing that. And it's like, every time I think I'm just going to go right into content writing mode, no, I got to install a plugin and configure it for this and do this and do that. So hopefully we get, I'll get out of that in due time.
I'm sure I don't help. I think one of the latest posts I did on your forum was, hey, by the way, you need to do a better about page. So here, add another plugin or like,
I noticed that timeline block. It came from a plugin.
Of course, they all do. All the extra blocks come from plugins.
It's weird that, you know, I kind of find it weird that like a timeline block wouldn't be one of the default ones in Gutenberg or the post editor. But then again, you know, it's one of those, I guess, edge use cases type things. So I could see how it's plugin material. But I bet you eventually something like a timeline block is probably going to be built in.
Well, I mean, with the quick changes they're making to WordPress 5.4, maybe you can get it in before they finish all the release candidates. I mean, we're going to have full screen mode by default, which I'm sure will not drive any of my clients nuts when it happens. I'm going to have to write some code and inject it in all those sites to make sure it doesn't do full screen by default because they don't know how to change it. And I've already seen that a whole bunch of people have made YouTube videos on how to change it back, but my users are not going to go seek out those videos.
Yeah, so what happened actually... So I believe it was WordPress 5.4 RC1, Matt Mulloway announced a change. There's a change in the make post talking about how full screen editing was going to be the default. It's going to be turned on by default now. And Matt Mulloway came out and said he actually initiated this change. It was something that got lost between everything that went on, and he came back around to it. And he says that if things don't work out, that it's possible it could be reverted in March if it needs to be reverted. And the feedback there is, so there's a couple things revolving around this change. A, it's during a release candidate, which at that point, WordPress is supposed to be, the version is supposed to be like finalized. This is what you're going to get. This is what WordPress would be like if it was released. That's the whole point of a release candidate. So now there's questions up in the air as to what the heck does a release candidate mean? And, you know, does all the philosophies of what the release candidate release process has been established, all these years on WordPress, are we throwing that all out the window? So there's that. And then there's the change of so late in the dev cycle of this is a substantial end user facing change that's going to impact quite a few people. And I know that Joost de Valk weighed in on this, said he wasn't too happy about the change. Some others are fine with the change. I have not actually tested it out yet, but I am not one of the full screen editor types of people.
Now, I have tested it out, and one of the things I will say is plugins like Yoast SEO plugin adds an extra area of information on your normal, you know, Gutenberg window. And you can have plugins that'll add, you know, custom fields and all these other things. And eventually your publishing space on your WordPress post is like a line or two, right? And so you got to go into the options anyways to disable all of those additional block like areas on your WordPress publishing screen. When you have it in full screen, it's not such a big inconvenience. It's not such a big issue. And so it definitely gives more room to breathe for some of these other plugins that you might have activated and added. I still think that adding it at such a late time is not ideal, and not walking users through this process is not ideal, right? Like, I mean, basically what would be nice is if on WordPress 5.4, the first time a new, like any user loads up a published post or a published page screen, it points to this little thing in the top corner saying, hey, this is full screen mode. If you don't want it,
just click this button. Built in.
Yeah, exactly. Just click this little button right here and we'll disable full screen for you right now, right? And go back to the way things normally are. Really kind of walk them through these things, because a lot of the users, as much as we, you know, we talk about democratizing publishing, right? And that basically means getting rid of the barrier for entry, which means that all these non-technical people are using WordPress, millions of them. And the thing that they hate most is change. I mean, some of these people are still using old versions of Windows, you know, clinging on to their Windows 8 license or whatever, because they don't want change. And it's horrible and it's annoying.
Classic editor for the win.
Right, exactly. I still have clients that, you know, fight tooth and nail. They're like, I hate Gutenberg. And it's like, when's the last time you tried it? Oh, when it first came out. Well, it's like, maybe you should try it again. No, I'll never try it. I'll switch to another publishing platform before I use Gutenberg. So, I mean, these are the kinds of users that they kind of have to, not necessarily teach all the way, but at least kind of placate a little bit and help them understand that this change could be beneficial.
Absolutely. And I think they're at the 5 point, I think release candidates 2 or 3.
Yeah, release candidate 2 came out 3 days ago.
Okay, so there we go. So it looks like everybody's going to get to experience this whole full screen editing mode pretty soon. And let's just sit back, grab some popcorn, and watch the forums light up.
Yeah, so for those that don't know, WordPress 5.4 comes out March 31st.
Ah, okay, so still some time. And then we'll cover this probably next week, but there was a post release, I believe, today that talks about the goals and the different things scheduled for, I think, the final version of WordPress to come out, the last major version of WordPress to come out later this year, which includes some pretty hefty goals, one of them being full site editing. And I've seen some feedback on that those are some pretty lofty goals that are set forth to have completed in WordPress by the end of the year. So that's something we're going to look into and we'll cover and talk about next Friday. With that, anything else that's kind of caught your eye, Malcolm, in the WordPress space?
The big one that I'm dealing with right now is WooCommerce 4.0 has landed.
Okay.
It's a pretty major update. It's very feature filled. It looks gorgeous. I can't wait to get.
I think this one has the actual new admin scheme they've been working on, right?
Yeah, it does, and it looks really good. And it gives you a lot of information that you had to kind of dig around for before, and it really kind of presents it in a really nice way. So, if you haven't switched over to WooCommerce 4.0, you should probably look into it. If before you update, please create a staging site and test it first. We've noticed some plugins don't work well. Some WooCommerce add-ons don't work well with this version of WooCommerce. Not everyone has tested to make sure that this upgrade works for them. So if you're using some kind of payment system that might not be like Stripe or PayPal or the more common Stripe or PayPal add-ons, it might not work and you might not be able to accept payments anymore. And that's kind of important in a store. So test on a staging before you release it live, please.
Yeah, I think I've seen some feedback. I think in the WooCommerce Advanced WordPress Facebook group, where some sites they upgraded to 4.0 fine, other sites got blown away. So, you know, and with the WooCommerce store, I think the first and most important thing you should be worried about is backups. I mean, you know, that's your source of income, that's revenue. You don't mm-hmm. want your WooCommerce store to go offline. And if it does, you want to be able to immediately restore a copy. And then, like you said, you got to have a staging environment. You got to be able to push updates to an e-commerce platform on a staging environment, see how things interact, see how things work out before you push it live. You know, if it's just like a WordPress blog, you could probably get away with not doing all of that. But WooCommerce, yeah, I think you got to up your game in terms of how you handle updates.
You know, you're eventually going to have like a WP mainline swag shop or something, which means you're going to have to install WooCommerce and get your feet wet in that.
I was actually thinking about some things I could do on the site to sell, whether it's services or some other things. I'm like, you know, maybe I could get by with like a WooCommerce where I don't have to actually sell physical products, but I could sell maybe like VIP passes to the forum, you know, or sponsorship or some other type of deals. I mean, I guess WooCommerce is actually pretty flexible to where you don't just have to stick with physical products, obviously.
It's true, yeah.
So I that'll just be another plugin I got to install.
For those that can't see, he's like face palming really hard right now. Don't touch your face, Jeff. Yeah, that's how you spread COVID. Oh,
that's right. That's well, don't say things that make me touch my face. That made me face palm. Unbelievable. So if I install WooCommerce, I'll probably the WooCommerce junction in the WP Mainline forums, I'll be populating that with a lot of questions and frustrations, and I'll get Bob there to help me out because he's the WooCommerce guy.
Yeah.
Shout out to Bob, by the way. Thanks for your post and shout out to the WP Mainline forums. That's very nice of you. Very kind of you. Let's see. Other than that, there's nothing really out there. I mean, there's a lot of conversations on Twitter. I think people are just so knee deep in the whole coronavirus thing and working from home, and it's kind of upended a lot of people's lives, and they're suddenly having to shift around and do things and reschedule things that it's I wonder, it's Friday and I think a lot of people are tired. The news has got to them. The coronavirus has gotten to them, but you know, it's very nice to see that the community has rallied together and we're trying to help each other out. And that's what the whole darn thing of what community is all about. So it's very nice to see. With that, I guess I don't have any other updates or any other news topics really that's pertinent that I want to bring up. Do you?
No, I'm good as well. I appreciate you having me on.
I appreciate you being here, sir. So that's I'm going to publish the show notes on WP Mainline. Of course, you could subscribe to this podcast. In fact, I'm still working on it. I still got to submit the podcast to Stitcher, iTunes, all those sites. But if you actually go to WPMainline.com and you click on the podcast link up the top of the site, you'll actually see the podcast feed. And somewhere in there, I believe you'll be able to subscribe to it. If not, I'll work on it. I'll get that straightened out so that it'll go right to your favorite podcatcher, whatever that may be. I'll get that handled. So with that, thank you very much for listening to the show. You can follow me on Twitter at Jeffro, JEFFR0, or I'd rather you follow WP Mainline because, you know, that's the whole purpose of the site. I need you to follow me, get those numbers up, right? So I look important. The site looks important on Twitter or whatever. But how can people follow you, Malcolm?
The best way would be to go on Twitter and use at Find Purpose, or feel free to email me directly, malcolm@presstitan.com.
All right, so everybody, and I hope you had a safe week. Please stay safe out there. Wash your hands. And we'll see you again. We'll talk to you again next Friday afternoon.